Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Dan Ball on WEEI.
Heading in 6 goals, 7 in total. I'm embarrassed. We should all be.
Not being ready, I guess. I mean, it happens every game, it seems, and our coaches prepare us with everything we need for the game, and I mean, it's just embarrassing to fans, to everybody. I mean, it's just like everything's pouring.
But this is devastating, the way we're losing these games. It's killing us. We're fighting so hard, and we just can't stop beating ourselves. It's pretty defeating right now.
I mean, it's embarrassing. It's not how we want to play and how we should play. We're going to find a way to shut it down before it gets too late.
Those were the encouraging tones of Jonas Korpisalo, Morgan Geeky, Charlie McAvoy, and Nikita I Will Break You Zadorov responding to the Bruins' 6th loss in a row on Thursday. Welcome back, by the way, WEEI, Dan Ball with you just after 12 o'clock here on October 25th in our Brighton studios, powered by Verizon. Thanks to Jeff Merrick for joining us. If you missed our conversation with Jeff, you can catch it on the Odyssey app as well as wherever you get your podcasts after the conclusion of this show. And who doesn't love a nice Canadian accent on a Saturday morning? The answer that he gave to the Nordiques and Whalers game, pretty easy on the eyes, eh, Dan? I'm like, this is a Canadian guy talking hockey if I've ever heard one. So I appreciate the time. He's one of the very best covering the game, and you know, he brought a little bit of sunshine and optimism regarding the future of the Boston Bruins as we dive a bit here into the plight of the current team, and also with a little bit of touch, as was created there by Jeff, on what the future holds for this group. Here's my kind of main idea question that I ask of you. If you're a Bruins fan and you're surprised at a 3-6 record through 9 games, my honest to goodness question to you is why? Because what about this team to you would have suggested that a strong start to the season and a team that was competitive for a playoff spot and a spot in the division and a, you know, maybe a home date in the first round of the playoffs. What about this team suggested to you that they were going to be in that spot? I just did not see it with the 25-26 Boston Bruins. I didn't see it. It didn't jump out to me. Any reason to be overly optimistic that this team could bounce back from where they were a year ago. However, I'm also here to tell you that it's okay, because this franchise has seen unprecedented levels of success and playoff competition and berths in conference finals and Stanley Cup finals. They from where this team was in 2006, when Marco Sturm was a member of the Boston Bruins, to where they came to 2011 and 2019 and 2023, and the generation of talent that the Bruins rolled out for over a decade, for the better part of 15 years, was unlike any other franchise in hockey for that amount of time. As the Patriots were putting together this incredible 20-year dynasty, the Bruins were putting together the most consistent stretch of elite hockey of any NHL franchise from 2007 to 2024, 4, call it, that it goes under the radar because they just didn't win championships. But if you win in 2019 or you win in 2013, those series go your way. I know, you know, if and buts and candy, or if it's and buts or candy and nuts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas. I understand that. But if that did happen, we're talking about this era of Bruins hockey in a much different way. And I think we're also talking about what's going on right now, which is an active rebuild of the roster in a much different way. So I wanted to couch it with that. That 2016 was brutal, by the way. It really does. It kind of has remnants of it, and it's ironic that Marco Sturm was a part of both, first as a player and then as a coach, because it was just a weird mix. You had a bit of excitement with a couple of guys that were on the way up. Bergeron was just entering his prime. You know, you had Chara, who you just brought in, looked like he was about to enter his prime. But you also had a bunch of guys who you just had to make decisions on. Glenn Murray at the end of his career, P.J. Axelsson at the end of his career. You know, the players like that, that were kind of coming down the other side of the mountain. And then they put it together, and they were competitive the next year. They were a surprise wild card team, took the Canadiens to 7 games in that incredible first round. That game 6 of that first round in Boston, the Jack Edwards, this building is vibrating game, I would argue almost single-handedly changed hockey in Boston for the next 15 years. So anyways, tangent aside, what's going on with this current team? It's a pretty, pretty ugly mix. So you have an offense that has actually probably exceeded expectations, or at least met expectations. They've been scoring with relative regularity to the point where you wouldn't expect this team to struggle as much as they do, given how much that they've scored. You look at the league leaders in terms of goals so far this season. Vegas at 4.29 leads the league. The Bruins are just outside the top 10, 3.22 goals per game. By comparison, the Edmonton Oilers are below them. The Dallas Stars are below them. You have teams that were picked to win the Stanley Cup that are scoring less than the Bruins to start the season. So that's where I was wrong on all of this. I thought the offense was going to be, you know, 2 goals was your average and 3 goals was an accomplishment. Well, they've actually been able to jump above that. But it's defense, it's goaltending, and it's stupid plays when the game is on the line. It's bizarre, mind-numbing decisions in a tie game, in a 1-goal game, in a game that you have a legitimate chance to win. It brings out the worst in the Boston Bruins. So that suggests to me an issue not necessarily only with skill. I look at the Boston Bruins as a team without a leader. I understand that you have highly paid players. You have players that are expected to be the core of this era of Bruins hockey. Pasternak, McAvoy, Swayman. You have other guys that have been paid decent money to be sidecars to those guys. Elias Lindholm and Hampus Lindholm. Something about the name Lindholm with the Boston Bruins. That's what this group is supposed to be. Good players in their own right. Leaders, though. Guys that are tone setters. Guys that are blank you, I'm going to go take this game over leaders. I think there's a very clear reason. It's been blatantly obvious to me why the Bruins did not name a captain to start the year. I don't think they have one. I think they have guys who are capable and guys who are paid to be leaders both on and off the ice. Emotional leaders, physical leaders. You know, the kind of guy that your team can rally around. They have the candidates, but those guys have not, in my personal opinion, stepped up in the slightest. Yes, David?
Trying to cross sports here. Correct me if I'm wrong. Does it remind you at all of the Rafael Devers thing where, like, he was the highest paid player but didn't want to step up and be the leader of the Red Sox?
Yes, it does. It absolutely does. But my one main concern with the Bruins versus the Red Sox in that example is that the Red Sox had Rafael Devers, but they also had Trevor Story and Alex Bregman. So once you kind of removed the highest paid player, should be a leader, isn't a leader, you had guys that kind of filled that void. I look below Pasternak, McAvoy, and Swayman, and I don't see their Trevor Story.
I don't see their Bregman, which worries me beyond compare. So it's an interesting comparison that you bring up. Because in those situations, especially when you have a young team or a team that's kind of been put together on the fly, you need significant leadership when the game is on the line. You need a guy that you can lean on, a steadying force, the loudest voice, the guy who's taking the shot with the goalie pulled, the guy who wants the puck on his stick when the game matters most. I don't see any of that. And you have so many spare parts that have been put together on this roster. We went into this earlier this week on the afternoon show, and I brought this up as part of my three-point stance, how 29 players had been drafted by the Bruins in the last 5 years, and none of them were on the roster, let alone in the lineup. You look up and down the lineup, Pasternak, McAvoy, Swayman, Beecher. You know, there are guys that have been drafted and put in a position where you're supposed to be the next homegrown talent of the Bruins, but there's so few of them that Don Sweeney has gone out and brought in free agent after trade acquisition. He's thrown together a bunch of puzzle pieces that paint an ugly picture. You bring in Lindholm, you bring in Zadorov, you bring in other Lindholm, you bring in Andrew Peak and Yogi Haru and Korpisalo and Zacha and Mittelstadt and Azmont and Jeannot, all of these guys from different teams onto a roster that doesn't currently have the culture or the leadership of Bruins teams of years past. If you added one of these free agents or trade acquisitions into a team with Bergeron and with Chara and with Krejci and these guys that were long-term members of the Bruins, that were the established leadership, the tone setters, the culture creators, and the culture conveyors to other players, it's easier because, okay, I'm joining a team where I know what this is. I know the big bad Bruins are a pain in the ass to play against. And I know that kind of tone, that kind of culture has been set from the top. So it was easier to do that when you knew, okay, my leaders are beyond reproach, beyond question. Right now you have highly paid players that are not culture setters, not tone setters, not vibe setters, for lack of a better term. So it creates a team of players who have been brought in from other teams and a few homegrown stars that has no identity and no direction. Well, where is this team going? What do they want to be? So you're scoring over 3 goals a game. Are you a scoring team? Not really. I don't look at your roster and go, yeah, you're a team that can outscore any team in hockey. Oh, so you should be a defensively sound team. Oh, your defense has been incomprehensibly bad to start the season. So you rely on goaltending. Well, maybe. What Jeremy Swayman are we getting today? Am I getting the third person talking Jeremy Swayman that's a brand new man? Or am I getting the flower that shrivels when the game is on the line? What am I getting? So I can't rely on you to score. I can't rely on you to defend. And I can't rely on my goaltending. I hate to break it to you guys. That's all that I can ask for from a hockey team. Those are one of the three options that you can be. If you could be tight checking, you can't really get away with just being goons in the NHL nowadays. It's too fast and too small of a league where you have to be able to score. So you have to be able to stop opposing teams with their fast and talented players. And it's just, it's a really strange picture, a really strange mix that's been put together by the leadership of the Boston Bruins. It's a team that I think was constructed to be hard to play against, I think. And yet you watch these games and teams are skating. The Anaheim Ducks put 7 goals on the board against you. The Ducks haven't made the playoffs in a decade. That might be a little bit strong, but it's close.
7!
Thank you. 7! 7 goals on home ice. You got embarrassed on home ice by a team that has been significantly worse than you for years. But what did the Anaheim Ducks have that the Bruins don't? A plan. They rebuilt and rebuilt and rebuilt and stockpiled draft picks and brought in young players. But at least they had a plan. And you see that team, you know what the Anaheim Ducks are. They're young. They're fast. They're up and coming. They seem to have a future. It looks like they're going to be fun. They might scare you for a wild card spot this year. They're up and coming. I saw one team that I know what they're trying to be, and the other team was the Boston Bruins. I have no idea what this team is supposed to be or what they're going to be moving forward. And that's not a commentary on Marco Sturm. A coach can only do so much. It is a commentary on the players, but these guys are signing for the money that they're offered and playing where their agent is suggesting that they play. It's a commentary on the front office. And a front office that I have taken many a swing at and will continue to do so until change is made. Because I see very little about what this front office group has done, inheriting a generational level of homegrown talent and, you know, acquired superstars. To inherit, and this is speaking specifically on Neely and then Sweeney, inheriting Bergeron and Krejci and Chara and Rask. And I know that there are plenty of Rask naysayers in this area. He had an incredible career, Stanley Cups or not. A guy that gives you a chance to win at the level that he did. A Vezina caliber goalie every single regular season. Playoff numbers, different conversation, not what I'm trying to have, and it's not my point. You inherited a core of players that hockey executives can only dream of having. You won nothing, and now you kept running it back and kept running it back. And, oh, my God, one more kick at the can, and we'll hire Jim Montgomery, and look at how great we were in the regular season. And, you know, Bergeron signs for another year for less. Krejci signs for another year for less. Bring in Orlov. Bring in all these acquisitions to just try to make it work and give up every single draft pick to not win and now have no plan. It is a frustrating time to be a fan of the Boston Bruins. That is for darn sure. Because the Celtics in going through their debuild right now, we'll get into them a little bit later. At least there's an excuse and a reason why, and I think that I trust Brad Stevens and his vision to put it together. The Red Sox I didn't trust until this year. and even still, now is the time. Now we go, and I'm not sure how much I trust them. The Patriots got their quarterback, and they're starting to put it all together. There was at least kind of incremental growth year over year. With the Bruins right now, they're kind of just sitting in limbo. They spent a lot of money. They have a league-low amount of cap space going into next offseason. They spent money on a roster they thought could compete. A couple prospects in the wings. It's just a very odd feeling for a franchise that doesn't seem to know what they want to be. Let's sneak in a quick call before we get to trending with David. Cody is on the Cape. What's going on, Cody?
Hey, how's it going, Dan? Great show.
Thanks. What's up?
So I was just thinking, I think Brady Tkachuk could be the best player to bring on to the Bruins. You're talking all of those intangibles that you just talked about, the leadership, physicality, a captain, obviously, like for Ottawa. Ottawa's had him, you know, I think the first 6 or 7 years of his career, he's been 20-20 each year. Last year is probably his least productive in the past 3 or 4 years, but you're talking like 5 to 7 points off. And I think he's frustrated. I think he wants to be on a big market team that knows where it wants to go. This team doesn't know where it wants to go. You have Swayman, who's extremely, extremely emotional goalie. If you've seen any of that Behind the Ice or something like that, there's a pretty good documentary that goes into some of the Swayman antics and just kind of what he's like as a goaltender.
Right.
I just want to get your feedback on that. Like, what do you think? How could you make that happen? Are there draft picks we could give up? I know we don't have much talent, but I just want to hear from you on the other side. Thanks, Sam.
Cody, thanks for the call, man. Much appreciated. Let's talk about the potential of acquiring Brady Tkachuk in just a little bit here. 617-779-7937. If you're a Bruins fan out there, it's rant o'clock, apparently. I didn't have that penciled in, but there was so much positivity and, you know, a look on the bright side from Jeff Merrick, I had to get my own two cents in on the state of the Boston Bruins. Could a Brady Tkachuk addition be what the Bruins are looking for? We'll talk about that after David Azar gets you caught up on what's trending.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Dan Ball on WEEI.
I'll tell you what, David. TD Garden has been anything but a paradise so far this season. There is ice, but not paradise. And I apologize in advance for saying that out loud on the radio. Welcome back here on WEEI just after 12:30 here on Saturday. They had Nate Bargatze. Do you know Nate, David? Do you follow comedy at all?
I've heard the name. I'm not really familiar with his work, though.
He's a Nashville comedian. He was the guest picker on College Game Day earlier today. My favorite comedian going right now. Hysterical. Just sold out the TD Garden and every other arena in America, sold out Madison Square Garden, all that. So an unasked for plug for his comedy work. He was the picker because Vanderbilt is all of a sudden an incredible, like a top 10 team so far this year in college football. They jumped up 7 spots in the poll last week. So anyways, that is neither here nor there. We are complaining about the Boston Bruins here on WEEI. And we had a call right before the break from Cody talking about 26-year-old left winger Brady Tkachuk, who unfortunately, and this kind of throws a wrinkle into the idea, is out 6 to 8 weeks dealing with an injury. I think it's a thumb injury that he's dealing with right now. Had 3 assists in 3 games. He was coming off of a 55-point season in 72 games. It was his lowest point total since he was 20 years old before COVID hit in 2019-20. I like the archetype of what Cody brought up. And the reason that I say that is because the Bruins are in need of somebody to come in and say, this is my team. It was Zdeno Chara's team. But like, let's be real. For the last 15-ish years, this was Patrice Bergeron's team. The Bruins played, competed, and carried themselves as Patrice Bergeron carried himself. The Florida Panthers have a lot of good players right now, but it's Matthew Tkachuk's team. They play, they embody what Matthew Tkachuk does. They have incredible players. Alexander Barkov is the best two-way center in hockey. And ironically, they were both hurt when Brad Marchand came in and his Florida Panthers beat you earlier this week, but that is neither here nor there. Look across the league and the best teams in hockey, you know, oh, that is blah, blah, blah's team. Even the Carolina Hurricanes, which were brought up by Jeff Merrick, is the team that's impressed him the most in the East so far this year. You can't necessarily point to one player, but you know what that is beyond a shadow of a doubt? That's Rod Brind'Amour's team, their head coach. He was their captain. He was their top line center. And now he is their coach and their tone setter and the guy who sets what the culture is going to be for the Hurricanes and will for as long as he is employed by the Hurricanes. Like that to me is what the Bruins are missing. Is it David Pastrnak's team? I don't really feel that way, no. because they'd be a lot better offensively if it was. They'd be a high-flying, you know, fly the zone, 3-on-2, track meet, up and down the ice kind of team. That's what they'd be. Is it Charlie McAvoy's team? I mean, maybe, but it's not. I'm not said with a compliment. It's a team that's full of defensive errors and missed hits, and that is Charlie McAvoy's game right now. So maybe it is McAvoy's team. Is it Swayman's team? No. No, I see nothing about Jeremy Swayman that makes me think, yeah, that guy's the backbone of the Boston Bruins. He wants to compete and will this team to 2-1, 1-0 victories every night. No.
They don't know what the f*** they're doing.
No,
you
they
understand
don't.
That?
Yeah, I do. I damn right I do, watching this team every single night. It could eventually be Marco Sturm's team. I'm impressed with what he said and the tone that what he said so far, the honesty that he carries himself with, and the way that he's tried to set a tone for his group. He's just been strapped with an abomination of a roster this year. And I don't know if Marco has the temperament to be the guy who is the Rod Brind'Amour of the Boston Bruins. Rod's just a one-off. You don't find a lot of successful teams that the coach is the guy that sets the tone. That's the ironic part about the Patriots at the beginning of this year, is that it was Vrabel. But even now, the reason that the Patriots are 5-2 and, you know, in the catbird seat in the AFC is because it's become Drake May's team. So to get back to the original point that was made about a guy in the mold of Brady Tkachuk, I think that's the right mindset to have when you think about, well, what's really wrong with this team? I don't have a star at the top on my top line or on my top pair or behind or in goal or behind the bench who I look at and go, that's the guy that embodies the Boston Bruins. And I will also say that we were incredibly lucky and spoiled to have one guy be that guy for as long as Bergeron was. Even when, you know, he was starting to come back on one-year deals and it was clear that, you know, his days in the league were numbered and route to a firm place in the Hockey Hall of Fame. Even during then, you knew, well, he's still the guy, the straw that stirs the drink. It's still very much his team. And then what complicated the Brad Marchand stuff so much is that I think the Bruins tried to just transition that power and that opportunity over to Brad and just expected it to go on unencumbered. All right, now it's Brad's team. Now we play with a little blank U. We play with some edge. We play with some grit. We're going to be pesky. We're going to be annoying. And that's going to be the way that we play. Unfortunately, there are just things about Brad Marchand and his game that you just can't teach. He's just innately annoying to play against. He just has it in him where if he's on your team, you love him. If you're playing against him, you hate him more than life itself. That doesn't really work that well because you can't hate life that much. Or I hope you don't. But you hate him more than anything. So I think that's kind of what the idea was. You just didn't have a roster's worth of guys that could match that intensity and that pain-in-the-ass quality that made all of us love Brad so much. So that's kind of where I think the issue with the Brad Marchand captain era of the Bruins really kind of stemmed from. And now you have guys who are highly paid and are supposed to be that guy, the guy that claims the team for their own, and nobody's really done it. Nobody seems overly interested in doing it right now either. So you have a team that just kind of moves around, doesn't have a direction. We're not going up. We're not going down. We're just here. We're just kind of bad, and we're not really sure how to fix it. Maybe some future on the horizon, though, and that's where I bring in Ryan in Salem. Ryan, how are you, sir?
Hey, how you doing?
Good. What's up?
I wanted to talk about the prospect pool and kind of jump off the points that you were saying.
Sure.
I would love Brady Tkachuk. Just like any other Bruins fan, I just don't see it happening.
Yep.
I don't think that the Bruins are in a win-now mode, and I agree with you that, like, we need that one player that just kind of embodies what our team should play like. And I think that, like, a player like James Hagans, not to say that he could be that guy, but we have young players like Hagans. People have given up on Dean Letourneau, but he's actually coming alive for BC this year.
Yep.
Will Zellers plays at North Dakota. We kind of need to get lucky with a guy from our prospect pool and then also have the coach to implement that kind of play style. Let me know what you think about the prospect pool, and thanks for taking my call.
Thanks, Ryan. Much appreciated. It's a point that's well taken. This is the best that the Bruins prospect pool has been in probably over a decade. If I had to kind of put a rough number on that, Hagans fell to you at 7. I think of all the players that you mentioned, he certainly has the biggest opportunity to eventually be that guy for the Bruins, and you could bold and italicize it to kind of make that point, to be the guy that who the Bruins play like around and with. The Zellers pick was probably the Sellers acquisition that was made during the deadline, I should say, was arguably my favorite piece that was added. Adding him and Fraser Minton to the mix was some pretty swift work done at the deadline by Don Sweeney. And so I'm excited about both of those guys, excited about Hagans, and you do have better talent to draw from either to develop and add to your roster or to trade from if you're in a hurry to try to turn this thing around. And I am really excited about that. There's a couple things. Prospects are magic beans. They could pan out, they could not. They could be the next superstar of the NHL. They could, you know, sit in Providence with the rest of the Bruins prospects and never see the light of day. So I'm disappointed that we're at the point where I have to go, well, you know, but the future's on the horizon. I just left that with the Red Sox. I'm so damn sick of doing that. I want to see it on the ice. I want to see it on the field. But that's more just me being a spoiled Boston sports fan and feeling that way. So I am excited about that. But you're really rolling the dice that one of those guys is going to be the cure-all for the Bruins. So you have to try to make something more of the present to give these guys the time that they need to develop properly. So it's a point that's well taken. And I would not be surprised in the slightest, given the track record of Sweeney and company, to deal from that prospect pool and bring in somebody that can kind of be a culture establisher and a changer. And I do certainly hope that would happen. 617-779-7937. What's on your mind? We'll get back to the New England Patriots. Some news about the Patriots' opponent, the Cleveland Browns, and what's going on under center for them. We'll get to that at the top of the hour. But coming up next, the Boston Celtics are 0-2 for the first time since 2021-22. Aberration or reality for this season? We'll get into that next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Dan Ball on WEEI.
Speaking of spoiled fans here in Boston, Boston Celtics fans are seeing something that they haven't seen since 2021, an 0-2 start for the Boston Celtics. Last night, a loss to the New York Knicks in what is a bit of a gauntlet to begin the season for the Celtics. If you wondered how long an NBA game is, our own Justin Turpin on WEEI, who's joining KJ and Lyons, which, by the way, comes up at 2 o'clock up until 6. I believe it's the both of them, right, David? KJ and Lyons together once again?
Yes, I believe so.
Love that. Okay. One is good, so two must be better. That's what I say about KJ and Lyons. So they come your way at 2. Justin Turpin joins, and he reminded you in his article on WEEI after the Celtics lost to the Knicks that an NBA basketball game is 48 minutes long, and that the Celtics have had a little bit of trouble remembering that concept through the first two games. The Celtics surrendered runs of 11-0, 17-0, and 12-0, all within the same quarter yesterday. And it's the second time within the span of two games to start the season that the Celtics have had a quarter in which they've allowed 42 points. That is bad. On the turnovers and the rebounding, head coach Joe Mazzulla said, we have to clean those up. Those are areas that you can control. Those are areas that just require effort and discipline and building the habit of that. Back-to-back games where we've gave ourselves a chance, but we've had two 42-point quarters. We've got to clean that up. I noticed the line, those are areas that just require effort and discipline. And I disagree. They also require talent and size and ability. And I think that is just as much the issue with the current construction of the Boston Celtics. Through the first two games, the Celtics have surrendered 31 offensive rebounds, second most in the NBA, only behind the Grizzlies at 34. This is from Terp. 31 offensive boards have produced 42 second chance points, also second most in the league. Excuse me, accounting for nearly 20% of the points Boston has allowed. The team has grabbed only 61.5% of defensive rebounds. This thing is a work in progress, man. I'm not positive at the moment that the Boston Celtics have five starting quality NBA players on their roster.
It's over. We are screwed.
So that's an interesting point, Michael Scott. Where the Bruins, I thought it was over before they dropped the puck. I looked at that roster and went, all right, according to Jones and Keefe, we're gagging for Gavin, who scored the game-tying goal, by the way, for Penn State against Stonehill last night. And your Nittany Lions are playing Stonehill once again this evening. So make sure you tune in. Big Ten Plus, they got it for you. Don't forget. And yet, to anybody who listened to the afternoon show yesterday and heard at the end of the Bruins segment us play the Nittany Lions fight song and announce loudly that Penn State was playing. Yes, I am going to keep doing that this season because I'm more looking forward to watching Gavin McKenna play than the rest of the Boston Bruins. But I digress. The Bruins, I thought it was over from Jump Street. Celtics, I'm not as pessimistic about. Where the Bruins, I think, just have a lack of talent. I think the Celtics right now have a lack of understanding of roles. I think you have a ton of players who are being asked to do things that on a roster that was deeper than any other team in basketball over the last 2 years, they just weren't asked to do. Sam Hauser, consistent starter. Nemias Keita, who has had a great start to the season for me in the 25-ish minutes that he's averaging per night. Being asked to do more. Peyton Pritchard, a starter, and not a great one, unfortunately. And chief among that is Jaylen Brown. Jaylen Brown is being asked to be a one for an extended period of time for the first time. And Derek White is a capable running mate, but he is nowhere near what you were getting with Jason Tatum. If Jaylen Brown had a bad game, we didn't talk about it with as much veracity because normally Jason Tatum had a good game. So you didn't have to put as much on it because, well, you know, the guy that's paid the most and the guy that is expected the most of had a good game. Now, if Jaylen Brown doesn't hustle to get himself open, doesn't put max effort in on every single possession and you know, doesn't quite have it for 48 minutes or the 40 plus that he's going to be asked to play. Now it's on display. And now you're losing games in much more of a large part because of it than you were in seasons past. So I'm encouraged by what Cade has brought in the front court, at least the, you know, that part of the game, and being able to hold down that position has been better. They still have a rebounding issue, and boy, oh boy, are opposing guards just going to torch the Celtics defense if they don't figure out how to defend in the backcourt. Whoo, boy. The drop-off from Drew Holiday to what you're getting so far from Anthony Simons and Peyton Pritchard defensively is shocking. So that's going to be a massive, massive thing to watch for. I said that they could still compete and find themselves in the fifth seed in the Eastern Conference. That may have been too strong. I do still think that you have talent that will grow as time moves along. Guys will get more comfortable in their roles. I'm still a believer in that because there's at least enough of a resume for some of these players. Peyton Pritchard is not going to shoot as poorly as he has to start the season all season long. I just don't think. But he may be relegated to being the sixth man once again if he continues to perform this way. And you may get more from him as the sixth man off the bench and having Anthony Simons in your starting five than you do in your current construction. That's something to be sorted out. How do you sort out the depth in the front court? Can you trust Boucher? Can you trust guys that you've lined up to Xavier Tillman in at least a complimentary role to Keita? And then God forbid what happens if one of them gets hurt. We'll cross that bridge when we come to it. You're very thin. You're starting caliber NBA players. I think you're lacking in current day. But I still think you do have players who have another step to take this season, and some will. The one thing, I can't get past this. This is by far the hardest challenge that Joe Mazzulla has had as a head coach. You can't just run it out there, roll the ball out there with more talent than any other team in the NBA and just try to outshoot all your problems this year. You're going to have to get creative. You're going to have to pull the grease board out during a timeout and scheme up a play that puts one of your few talented players in a position to hit a shot to win a ball game. Right off the bat, game number one, final play. Jaylen Brown calls timeout as Joe Mazzulla is running up the court, basically as the sixth man on the court, trying to have his team push the ball and get a final shot before Philadelphia can get into their defensive set. That's not going to work with this year's team. You're going to have guys running specific plays in specific spots to try to get open shots. It's just how it's going to have to work this year if you're going to maximize this roster. There was no maximizing of the Celtics roster over the last 2 years. It was just put guys on the floor, rely mainly on talent and shooting ability, and you'll outshoot a lot. You'll shoot teams straight out of the gym. And then in a playoff series, you just got to rely on your team being able to do that 4 out of 7 times in a given series, and more times than not you did. It's going to be a challenge for the head coach of the Boston Celtics, one that we haven't seen him deal with to this point. I'm not sure he's going to be able to respond. I'm dubious of that. But I do think talent-wise, there are still reasons to believe that this team can be competitive and finish either at the top end of the play-in round, if not in that 5-6 range in the Eastern Conference. But there's still a lot of work to be done. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Let's get back to the New England Patriots. If you have a trade deadline target that we didn't get to earlier, let me know on the phone lines or on the text line right now. Would love to hear from you. We'll also get into their matchup with the Browns. And Drake May, his way too early case for a very prestigious NFL award. All that and more Homer Patriots talk next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.